What a treat and a blessing it is to be with you today. Maybe like me, you're new here. Maybe you decided, man, Memorial Day is the day that I'm going to get up and come to the 9 o'clock service. Well, welcome, welcome. How many of you have been here at Savannah for a while, been here at Compassion for a time? Praise God. Well, it's great to be back with you again. I want to welcome all those who are also at the regional campuses, watching online. And happy Memorial. Have you said happy Memorial Day weekend to somebody next to you? Go ahead and tell them that. Even if you're married, go ahead and just tell them that anyway. My wife came with me. We came all the way from Malibu, California, where is our home now. I preached in Charlotte, North Carolina for a number of years and then moved all the way across the country to Pepperdine University. I don't know if you've ever, anybody here ever been out to Malibu, California, know where Malibu is? Anybody ever been on the Pepperdine campus? This is the Pepperdine campus. How many will not raise your hand no matter what question I ask you? Really, it doesn't matter. Okay, thank you for the honesty. Good deal. Pepperdine is a Christian university right on the ocean there, that big blue spot. That's the Pacific. And we are blessed to live there and work there. But it has been different. Malibu and Charlotte are a little different. Can you say, oh, yeah, oh, or as I would say, oh, my goodness. I mean, sometimes the things people wear or they take their dogs in the bank. I am not joking. It is a really interesting culture. But one of the things about working at this Christian university is that it being right there in Malibu, it is also where a lot of the stars live. My son went to a restaurant the other day, sat down, and Emma Stone and her mom came and sat right across from them. Emma Stone was the gal who was, a Spider-Man's girlfriend in one of the Spider-Man movies. And so I said, man, did you get a picture? And my wife said, you do not do that. These are normal people. I mean, they may not be normal, but they're people, and they live here in Southern California, so we can't be doing that. They just have to just... My wife is down getting a cup of coffee at a little coffee place, and Pierce Brosnan walks in. Yeah, 007. And I said, what'd you do? I said, well, I just smiled. I said, yeah, I bet you did, baby, you know. She said, you don't take pictures, you don't do that. And I really tried, although I didn't see anybody for almost the first year. But on New Year's Day, about a year, we've been there 2 years since, so it's been almost 2 years ago. On New Year's Day, we had all our kids over, and man, Catherine said, we need some more eggs. I said, I'll run down the supermarket. I run down the supermarket, I'm pushing my cart, come around the corner, and I look at a face and think, wait a minute, I think that's Dick Van Dyke. Y'all remember Dick Van Dyke? Some of you may, for those who don't, in Mary Poppins, he was the chimchimmery guy, right? You know, and for those of you who are later, he was in the movie called A Night in the Museum. He was the old guard in that movie. So here I am in this store looking at him. And my wife's words, do not bug him, do not bug him, you know? And so I just walked by and nodded, and he nodded, and I thought, oh, I can't. So I turned my cart around. I stalked him up the cereal aisle because I wanted to say something. Because his work has just been so wonderful and funny and so much enjoyment through the years. So by the time we got to cheese, I pulled right up next to him. And I said, Mr. Van Dyke. And he turned and said, yes. And I said, I just want to say thank you. You have made me and my family laugh and given us such joy. Thank you for what you do. And he paused and said, well, thank you for saying that. What's your name? I said, well, my name's Jeff. I work at Pepperdine. Oh, he says, I love Pepperdine. Did you know some Pepperdine students came down and celebrated a birth? So we just got to be good friends, just right there in the cheese aisle. And I couldn't help it. I said, Dick, my kids will not believe this happened unless you let me do this. And I got this photo right there. Yeah. I couldn't resist. Now, I share that picture with you because one of the things that people do when they come to that area is they try and spot celebrities. How would you spot a celebrity? You know, are you looking for the glasses? Are you looking for the cars? Because Dick that morning was just in kind of some workout clothes. I mean, he did not look like a celebrity, which made me think, what if you came to Savannah and tried to spot the Christians? What would you look for? Would it be somebody carrying a Bible? Would it be one of those Jesus is my homeboy t-shirts, you know? Or or I Love Compassion Christian hat, right? Did you know this is an annual figure. Last year, approximately, this is Christian apparel, Christian art, Christian, everything from the crosses to the hats, $4.6 billion of Christian stuff. Everybody say that's a lot. Oh, yeah. And so you say, well, is that the way you spot them, Because do I need to have a cross or do I need to have, big old Bible? Here's what Jesus said on the last night of his life. He's gathered together with his disciples. In fact, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and get your outline and your Bibles out and open up, if you would, to John chapter 13, because we're going to get another handle on our love handles. I worried when Cam had assigned me that text, but now I'm okay, seeing as he's doing it with me here. So we're working love handles here. Whether you're in a relationship and thinking about getting married, whether you've been married for 6 weeks or 6 years, or whether you just got somebody you're close to you want to build a deep relationship with, you need to know this. Jesus believed that more than a t-shirt, more than a hat, more than a pin you'd wear on your lapel, how we treat one another is a mark of our relationship with God. I'm going to pick up here in verse 33. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. Can you say those three words with me? Love one another. He says, I give you this new commandment. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know, what will they know? That you are my disciples. Just let that hang on you just for half a second there. By this, not by my Jesus t-shirt, not by the cross on my neck, not by the fact that I come to Compassion Christian every Sunday, Lord. He said, no. I want them to see at the mall. I want them to see at the school. I want them to see at the restaurant. By the way that you love one another. Now, I believe this is important because it's one of the last things Jesus said to his disciples. If you're going away on a trip, you're taking a little getaway for an anniversary, and you call the kids together. I remember this with three kids, Taylor, Spencer, and Riley, and saying, now listen, Grandma is going to stay with you guys for the next 4 days. And they love Grandma, and oh, that's cool. And I said, because Mama and me are going to be gone. And our oldest said, where are you going? And I said, it really doesn't matter where we're going. We're just going to be gone. Riley, our second, said, Dad, where are you going? Where are you going? I said, buddy, we're going. This is back when we lived in California years ago. We're going to Florida. Taylor said, where in Florida? I said, buddy, it doesn't matter. You're going to Disney World. You're going to Disney World. I said, it doesn't. Mom and I are going for an anniversary. And of course, what do they say? Yeah, we want to go too. Can we go? And I said, no, you're staying here. That's why we're going, because you're staying here, right? I mean, that's part of the program. Jesus says, my little children, I can only be with you a little longer, and I'm going someplace you can't come. Peter, in a moment, I don't even think he heard Jesus say, love one another, because he says, how come we can't go? Of course, Peter doesn't know. Jesus is heading where? He's heading to the cross. He's heading to Calvary. He's heading to death. Peter's saying, can I go? And Jesus says, oh, buddy, you will one day, but you don't know what you're asking. But here's while I'm gone, while I'm away from you, here's the one thing I want you to know. A new command I give you. Love one another. Say it with me. Love one another. Now, if you're a Christian, you've heard that verse before, but I want to make sure you hear Jesus says, by this will all men know that you're my disciples. I watched a man chew out a Delta representative. Flight was late and there were difficulties, and because they had to change to another plane, he lost his preferred seat and he was given her what for. I mean, just one of those moments where you thought, do you intervene? Do you not? She handled it very comfortably. No problem. It was like the gal that at the airport that had the guy come up and was yelling at her about a late flight as he was checking in his bags. And the man walked up and says, ma'am, I have to compliment you on how you handled him. You kept just so calm. How did you do that? She said, well, you see that poor man? He's going to Boston. He's going to be late. And now his bags are going to Bogota. So, I mean, this gal was so easy when this guy just hollered and yelled at her. So we go to get on the plane. Guess who sits right next to me? Oh, yeah. Oh, Mr. Attitude. And I'm thinking, oh, God, did you put him here for a reason? And, you know, he was fine to me, but he sat down, he put his things in, turned, hi, I'm Charlie, and I shook Charlie's hand, and hi, I'm Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Well, great, you know. And then he says, you know, God bless you. Pray we have a safe flight. 10 minutes later, I got my Bible out of my bag to look over my notes. And, is that a Bible? I said, yeah, that is, Charlie. You're a Christian, aren't you? And I thought, God's opening the door here. You know, maybe I can witness to this guy. I said, yes, I am. He said, I am too. I'm a pastor. I want to say, Charlie, please do me a favor. Don't tell nobody. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. By the way that you love one another. Say it with me. That you love one another. Paul is going to say in Ephesians, he's going to say in Ephesians chapter 5, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. Ephesians, pardon me, that's chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This is the hinge verse there in Ephesians where he goes from saying this is who you are to this is what you are. Because you see, who I am should motivate how I am. Is everybody tracking with me on this? If you say, I'm a Christian, especially I'm a pastor. If you say, well, yes, I'm a member of Compassion Christian. Well, who you are ought to motivate, everybody say, how you are. Because who I am, if it doesn't drive how I am, I need to back up and say, are you really who you say you am? Is everybody with me on this? Because when my behavior no longer tracks with the nature of Jesus, I have to stop and say, really? Mark down in your outlines there, how I am should be driven by how I believe God has treated me, how I believe God has dealt with me. Now, this is just going to get uncomfortable, so just go with me for a minute. How I believe God loves me is going to enable or disable how I'm able to love my spouse and my kids and my coworkers and my neighbors. For Paul says, and let me read it once again, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Now, when Paul says this, he's talking about, he uses the word worthy, which is a axios, it's a Greek word that has to do with balance scales. Remember the old days when in the movies, they'd put the gold over here and they'd put stones over here to see how much they had? Axios is that word. And Paul says, when you're in a relationship with someone, when you're caring for someone, how should you live? When you're working with someone, he says you should live a life that is worthy. The word means bring into balance. That is worthy of what God has done for you. Well, so in other words, as much as I think God has done for me, the blessing, the life that I have been called to, should be the way that I treat others. Remember what Jesus says? Mark that down in number 2 there on your outline. Christ's call is very simple. Love others as he has loved you. And oh my, how much did Jesus love us? Jesus loved us sacrificially. Jesus loved us selfishly. Jesus loved us in a way that overwhelms us, so much so that we sing, Jesus loves me this what? I know. Because when I take a look at Jesus' life and see the sacrificial way he loves me, of course, when Easter rolls around and I see a passion play or I see a movie where someone is nailed to a cross and lifted up, they're beaten, stripped, and mocked before that, and they cry out, Abba, Father, why have you forsaken me? I don't envy that moment. And I'm raised in a society just like you, where every one of us have in our house at least 10 or 15 different painkillers. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody's got a headache at the house. Do you want the ibuprofen or the Tylenol? I got the aspirin or the red wine. I mean, you know, what is it? What is it I got here that can take a little bit of the edge off of what you got, right? I've got all kinds of painkillers. Oh, you know, when I got my tooth out, I still have a few of these too. You take one of those, you'll be gone till Tuesday. And so here I am in a society that says if there's any pain, you immediately get a painkiller, something that'll get rid of it. But brothers and sisters, may I say gently in this love handles lesson, how many married folk have we got here? Raise good. How many happily married folk have we got here? This is your moment. Yeah, okay. She was looking. You better get that hand up in that air. If you're married, please understand there are no painkillers for the sacrifice of marriage. I mean that seriously. Been married 35 years nearly. There are no painkillers for the sacrifice of marriage because marriage is about saying, I want to love you as Christ has loved me. It's funny, I think I made the note here, everybody wants to be the boss, but nobody wants to pay the bills. Everybody wants a great relationship, but nobody wants to have the pain, the sacrifice of the cost of that relationship. I told you I had three sons, and when one of the oldest got up about, he was high school age, and we had one of those moments where he needed to be reminded, excuse me, I'm dad and you're not, okay? How come I can't do this? Everybody's doing this. And I said, you know what? This is my house. And this is the way the rules are. Boy, he backed up. And then he said, you know, I knew it was coming. I knew one day this is coming. Because I said this to my dad. I can't wait. Everybody knows what's coming, right? I can't wait till I'm the boss. One day I'm going to be in charge. And then I'm going to do whatever I wanted. I can't wait till that come. And he didn't know as a parent, I was thinking, oh, dude, I can't wait either. Let me tell you. I can't wait till you pay the house payment and until you pay for your food. I can't wait till you pay for insurance. Oh, college. Lord, let one day come. Let it come. I can't wait. I can't wait for that. Because what I understood that he didn't is it's one thing to say, I want to be the boss. I want to be in charge. I want to have my own place. And it's another thing to deal with. Everybody say, I get that. Come on, say, I get that. Everybody says, I want to have an awesome, loving relationship. We watch some movie in which two couples are committed to one another. You know, husband and wife love each other and they live together and finally they grow old together. And you're like, oh man, I want that. Really? You know, that comes with the price of sacrificial love. In fact, Paul says it comes with a very dangerous thing called mutual submission. Go ahead and open your Bibles up to Ephesians 5, and we'll just try and stay in Ephesians 5 for the rest of the few moments we got together. Paul teaches that the secret to Christian relationships centers on a very dangerous choice called mutual submission. Now, mutual submission, I just got to stop. Anytime I use the word submission, the hackles on the back of most of our neck go up, right? Uh-oh, submission. Because submission, the word submission in Scripture in New Testament is hupotasso. Everybody say hupotasso. Right, when you get, next time you see Pastor Cammy, you tell him, learn a little Greek last week, hupotasso. So what is that? It's two words come together. The first word is the word for to lower, to move down, to put under. And so hupotasso literally means, the second word is the word for set. It is the word to set something under something else. Okay, I'm under the authority. And by the way, praise God for all those that serve in the military. Memorial Day weekend, thank you for your service and for those who have given the ultimate service. Amen. If you're in the military, you know what it means to say, I am under that sergeant. I am under that commander. Hupotasso says you place yourself under. It's not being forced. That's not what hupotasso is. Hupotasso, well, here, it's easiest if I show you this way. Everybody remember how you used to pick sides or who goes first when you're playing? Jimmy, come here and help me for a minute. You're just sitting down front. Just jump up here real quick. Did you ever play any baseball, Jimmy? A little bit? Okay, all right, good deal. Everybody give Jimmy a hand. Good deal. Thanks, man. Okay, tell you what. We're gonna pretend we're gonna pick, you know, who's gonna get to bat first, all right? So you grab right next to my hand, right up there, and then I'm gonna grab. You grab. Oh, see, everybody wants to be the one on top. Try one more time. Give it one more shot. Here we go. Ready? Boom, 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 boom. Oh, man, I tell you, you're no good at this, Jimmy. Actually, Jimmy doesn't know. I practice. See that spot right there? You put your hand right there. Every stinking time we do it, what do you know? I win again. Now, folks, let's be honest. This is the way most of us play the game of life. Who's going to get first? Who's going to get on top? Now, watch. Here's hupotasso. You ready? You know what, Jimmy? You go ahead and go first. What? You going to out-hupotasso me? I don't think so. Come on now. Oh, wait, hold it a minute here. You see, this is what nobody expects, do they? Nobody expects somebody to say, oh, no, you. Stop for a second. I want you, close your eyes for half a second. Just close them. Some of you did it earlier in the lesson. Just join them. Go ahead. Just. I know it's Memorial Day weekend. Just close your eyes. All right. Now, while your eyes are closed, I want you to see your spouse. If you don't have a spouse, I want you to see somebody you care about. I want you to see somebody you work with. You ready? Now, I want you to see a moment when you want your way. I want you to see a moment when you want to go first. Where are we going to eat after church, honey? And she says, how about that Chinese? And you go, oh, no. Everybody quietly whisper, hupotasso. Yeah. You know what that means? You're eating Chinese. Do you realize, grab up here one more time, Jim. Do you realize how the world would change if more of us were be willing to say, I'm going to love you like Jesus has loved me. I'm going to give you first position. Thank you. We need to be reminded sometimes. Because the world is so used to this, right? So used to, oh me, that when they see this, they say, wait a minute, why would you do that in your marriage? You guys have married all this time and you still open the car door for her. You've been married all this time and you still defer to him in that way? Jimmy, there was a guy about 8 inches taller than you that I stood behind in a McDonald's line years ago that taught me this better than anybody else ever did. I got to tell this fast. We were standing there in this McDonald's line and I'd been looking at him thinking, Lord, why? You know, I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, how come he gets this and I get this? And I was waiting and I was a little ticked because the gal behind the counter is like 16, never worked before, you know, quarter pounder, you know, you hit a button, honey, right? And so I'm sitting there looking at my watch and getting frustrated, looking at him, and then I hear this little tiny voice, sweet little just, honey. And when he turns over, his wife is about that tall, cute little gal with a little baby. And she says, get an orange juice for Charlie. He's like, okay, all right, maybe, you know, he turns back and I'm thinking, how did they ever get to get? What did their marriage photos look like? You know, smile. I mean, are you trying to imagine? But we're standing in line, and finally she finishes with the guy in front of him. At the same moment, three things happen. When she finished with the guy in front of him, it was his turn next, but her wife said, wait a minute, no, get a milk. And he turns and said, baby, you want a milk or you want orange juice? Which one, baby? Either way. And this 14-year-old kid who just pulled up, dropped his bike off, and walked in, and the gal behind the counter said, who's next, which is what they're trained to say, and the 14-year-old kid stepped right in front of all of us in line and said, I'm next. And me and this lady behind me went, oh, no, you know, no. But then the big guy went, and we thought, oh, he's got this. No worries. And the little kid just starts snapping off his order. I want 2 cheeseburgers and an order of fries. And the big guy just flopped a hand on his shoulder. And I couldn't see the kid, but I heard this big voice go, excuse me, son, you were in front of me? And then I heard this smarty voice say, yeah, you want to make something of it? Oh, dude, he had to be the world's only living brain donor, because, I mean, all this guy would have had to do is just go thump, and that kid had been in Kansas. And I saw the big man's shoulders tense up, and we all just stepped back. But then his shoulders relaxed, and I heard this voice say, whatever. And I'm thinking, no! not whatever. Smack that kid, get him out of there, teach him a lesson. He needs to be shown respect. Where's his mama? I'm thinking all this while the kid orders and the girl gets his food and brings it over. And when the kid walks away, he walks away with that. Yeah, I showed you, big man. You know, he walks away like that. And I'm thinking, where are you sitting? I'm going to come sit by you. I'm going to preach you a whole revival right back there in McDonald's. The big guy steps up to the counter and the gal says, that was really cool of you. And the big guy says, Jesus has been pretty patient with me. Oh. Here, I'm the pastor, right? I'm ready to go. Give me that thing. I'll go have that, boy. And he's, everybody say, hupotasso. Yeah, he's being willing to say, let me let you go first. If you want the kind of beautiful relationships that you seek and you're wondering, how come I'm not getting it? Maybe it's because you're constantly trying to do this. Oh, actually, that was yours, wasn't it? Sorry about that. Now, what happens when this moves into the marital arena? Jimmy, is that your wife sitting right with you?
Yes.
Hey, come on up here for just a minute. Would you give her a big round of applause? Step right here. Now, I know better than just to do that. So I asked Victoria ahead of time, and she said, yeah, thank you so much. Come right up, come right up. Everybody give Victoria a big round of applause for being here. Okay. Now, how long y'all been married?
About 15 years almost.
About 15 years almost. How about you?
About 15 years.
Same. Okay, good. I always like to check to get the story straight. Okay, all right. Now, we're going to go through really fast and wrap it up here. Three key things that the Bible says come into a relationship. In order to do this, let me give you a visual. I'm going to give each one of you a goblet, all right? Now, that goblet represents all the things that God has poured into your life, all the love that your mom and daddy and family and all the gifts you have and all the love that God has poured into your life, all the blessings, okay? And what happens? He pours in and pours in and we have all this stuff. And then we say, oh, I want to get married. And when we get married, there's a third glass. And in this third glass, all the things that we have, we're going to pour in. Right?
We're supposed to.
You're supposed to, right. I noticed nobody's just flying over here to the pouring part. Hang on a sec now. Hold your glasses up close to you just like that and say, like, you ain't going to get none of mine. Isn't this the way most of us live right here, right? That's mine. Ran a little couple who said they're going to get married, and we got to talking about marriage, you know. And I said, well, so have you sorted out how you're going to handle things? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're going to put all your stuff into one checking account. And they both just stared at me. What do you mean? I said, well, you know, now you got separate checking accounts. Have you decided if you're going to do it together? And this guy said, with my money? And I thought, oh, brother. When you say I do, my just left the building, all right? Can I get an oh yeah from the married folks? Oh, listen. So would you just pour into this cup? Yeah, you just pour into it. Just yeah. Now, okay, good. Wow, you just filled her right up there. That's I don't even know if I need to preach that. That's a marital commitment right there, right? Principle number one, mark this down. Write this down there in your outline, would you? The first principle is that successful relationships are built on grace, not performance, okay? Three keys. Successful relationships are not built on performance, but on grace. Grace, not performance. Now you say, why do you say that, Pastor? Because what Victoria may do is say, well, I'm going to give a little, but he hadn't been very good, so I'm not going to give very much. Well, I'm going to give a little because she hadn't given very much. But they're not based on my spouse's performance. They're based on how God has been gracious to me. Everybody say, God's been gracious to me. Oh, man. He's been forgiving to me. He's been kind to me. He's given me more than I deserve. Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts you've given me. And until I start there, I'll cheat this over just half here, a step here. Until I start there, when I see the value that God sets on me, then I am able to love you well. I'm going to ask you to turn and look at each other for a minute. If you guys would, just step right here, just look at each other. You don't got to get close. That's all right. Just look at each other. Now, as she looks at him and he looks at her, how do they see each other? You want to have a great relationship. Change your view just a little. I want you both to look up above each other's heads. And I want you to see God, and He's placing His hand on your spouse's shoulder and saying, "This is my beloved child. They are a blessing. They are worth the mountains and the sky. I gave my son for this person." You see, when I see my spouse with the value that God places on them, and then, number two marked down, when I sacrifice and give, successful relationships center on mutual submission through sacrifice. When I feel the love that God has for me, then I can sacrifice for you. Now, I want you to see that hand of God on your spouse's shoulder and see God saying, "Oh, they're just such a wonderful person." Now, He says, what I want you to do, husbands, remember what Ephesians says? Love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Husbands, love your wives even as you love your own body. So He says, I want you to love her like Jesus. If you were pouring a glass for Jesus, Jimmy, how would you do it? Yeah, I thought so. Victoria, do you know that the Bible says, wives, love your husbands even as you love and honor Jesus. Submit to Him even as you love and submit to Christ. So if you were pouring Jesus a glass, how would you pour it? Yeah, that's right. Now, this is the relationship we're all looking for, isn't it? It's the full relationship. I'm going to steal your glass. I'm going to ask you to take a hold of that, Jimmy, with both hands. Right around that stem, if you would. Thank you. And well, Victoria, would you do the same thing? Would you grab a hold of that? What you're seeing right here, I want you to, this mental Instagram, okay? What you're seeing right here is two people who have said, I'm going to give as God has given to me. I'm going to submit. We're going to eat Chinese food, all right? I'm going to say, honey, you first. I'm going to, everybody say, hupotasso. I'm going to submit freely because God has been so good to me. And when I do that, then I have this wonderful relationship that, go ahead, I can enjoy. Go ahead on. You see, the sweetness, and boy, there's plenty. These guys are just sippers, but there's plenty.
I don't blame them. My wife bought this. And it's like purple water with just a little bit of carbonation, no sugar or nothing in it, which means it doesn't taste good at all. Hang on just a second. Let me take that. Grab hands one more time. If you're sitting with your spouse, go ahead and grab their hand, would you? Now, I know that 15 years ago, you guys said this. You said, I'm in. Hupotasso, I'm gonna sacrifice and submit mutually to one another. But every day we get up and in marriage, we have all these expectations like everybody talked about. And God's expectation is that every day we choose to say, I will submit to you in honor of Jesus. I will submit to you in honor of Christ. And there's no way I can have the relationship I'm seeking. I'm hiding that thing. You can't have any of it. And then I wonder why I'm so frustrated in my relationship. But because of Christ, Jimmy, who gave everything for you, brother. And because of Christ, Victoria, you know this, who gave everything for you, sister. He set the example of how to love one another. Are you committed still? Can I get an I do?
I do.
And are you committed still to this? I do.
I do.
Then I pronounce you still married. All right? Okay. Give these two a big round of applause. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Now, the only way that we can live in that beauty, because some of you are saying, man, he ain't been to my house. Let me tell you what. If that had been my husband, he'd been like, I want to ask you today, maybe God got you here this Memorial Day morning to take a deep breath and say, God, I want a different kind of relationship. Mark down number three, that last one. Successful relationships give grace from personal experience. It's hard to give grace when you haven't received it. And maybe you feel like you're in a world or a relationship in which nobody gives you much grace. Nobody's pouring into you. Well, somebody's got to go first. I'm going to say it again. Somebody has to go first. Relationship with a child, relationship with a spouse, something messed up. Everybody say it. Somebody has to go first. Guess who did? Jesus. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. Maybe you're here today and you never experienced that. Or maybe you've experienced it a long time ago, but it hadn't trickled down into marriage, and you're like that fella who's giving a stewardess a hard time and then telling me he's a pastor. Because that beautiful person that God has brought you into relationship with needs to see Jesus in you. But it's a trust thing, isn't it? What if I pour mine in and she doesn't, then I end up with a big old glass of empty? Don't you believe God's going to fill it? That's the trust. It reminds me of a buddy of mine who lost his daughter. Well, didn't lose his daughter. Make it quick. He and a friend were in their backyard. They were having a little barbecue together. They live up in the state of Washington, and there's a fence that borders them to this beautiful field that's part of kind of a state land area. And occasionally, his little 8 or 9 year old daughter liked to go over there and play. They had a little gate that would actually lead into it. She and another girl that were with them snuck out there while these two guys were talking, and they said, well, where are the girls? Well, panicked, he jumped up and looked. He saw the two girls, but they were on horses. They don't own horses. You're like, what in the world? And these girls were bareback on two horses. And he smacked his buddies. Look, and boy, they went tearing across the field. He said, as I ran, I saw this gal wearing this kind of cowboy getup. And she was like, don't run, don't run, don't run. So we're walking as fast as we can. And his daughter was waving, Daddy, looky, looky. And he got over, and the lady says, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. They asked if they could ride him. And he said, ma'am, she said, they're completely safe. They're right here. She said, it's okay, it's all right. I just didn't know. They probably should have told me. He said, you know, thank you for letting them ride your horses. And she says, oh, they're not my horses. You got them on somebody else's horses? She says, no, I rehabilitate abused horses. And what you don't know about those two little ponies there is they were bought by somebody and stuck in a barn. And that person kind of lost use of them. Didn't really care much anymore. His daughter didn't want to ride. So for almost seven years, they only saw somebody once a day when they'd drop off some dry oats and a little bit of tepid water. If you'd have seen them when I first got a hold of them, our rescue organization found out and we paid for them. He said, they were a mess. He said, well, how do you rehab them? She said, oh, that's the fun part. I bring them here. I bring them right here. And I turn them loose. And they just nudge me. Because they're used to that being the only way they get food or water. And then I have to be patient and wait. After about 10 minutes, they start nudging me harder. And finally, they'll start keening and crying. And so I just start walking. And they start following me. And I lead them right down to the brook. There's a little stream running through the property. I step across it, and they stop, and they don't know. They've never seen a running stream. And finally, one of them will get their nose down in it and realize it's water and start drinking and drinking fresh, cold water. Can you imagine that for the first time? And after they fill their bellies with water, oh, but then they turn around and start nudging me again for food. And she says, then I just kind of back up and sit down in the grass. It's a whole field of grass. But they whine. Oh, they keen. It's the saddest sound because they think there's nothing here. There's nothing here. And finally, one of them will just lay down. It looks like he's, I'm just going to die. And then they'll take a bite of the grass. Oh, this is the moment I love. Because you can see it in their eyes. All of a sudden, they go, dude, I'm in a food bowl.
they'll eat and eat, and then they get up and start to dance. And they'll prance, and they'll run, and they'll drink, and they'll eat. It's though for the first time they've discovered God's got it covered. God's got plenty for me. My buddy told me that story, and I went, oh my goodness, that's so many marriages that are out there saying, nuh-uh, I can't, nuh-uh. Listen, God's got it covered. He will see you through the toughest times, and He will bless your life. He will see you through the losses and the difficulties. And yes, sometimes He'll even walk you through the loss of a mate. But let me tell you what, God's got it covered. Will you bow with me? Father, I just ask that today, those who are here that are wrestling and saying, my cup is empty, my cup is empty. Father, will you give them the courage to this weekend make a change? To say, I'm just going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to give, I'm going to submit, I'm going to sacrifice, and I'm going to trust you, God, to see me through. Father, for those who are here who have never given their heart and life to Jesus, for those who are here who have but haven't been living that life, or for those who are here who are struggling, Father, I pray when this song is sung that they'll just step out and that the prayer counselors who'll be there to meet them, that they'll just meet somebody down front, meet me down front, and God, that they would have a moment of saying, I want to submit to you, Lord. You went first. Father, may we sacrifice and submit to you. And when they do, thank you, Jesus, that you've already promised you are with us always and you will give us more than we've ever imagined until one day we live with you forever. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. And we all say, amen.